This is a CBC podcast. Ever wonder why our podcasts aren't exactly what we air on the radio? Or what it means to subscribe to a podcast? Or why we don't podcast Wiretap and the debaters? You'll find the answers to these questions and more on our podcasting Frequently Asked Questions page. Just head to cbc.ca/podcasting and follow the link to our FAQs.
Maud Billy is the name of the new record by my first guest, the Boxmasters. If the name Boxmasters sounds familiar, there may be a couple of reasons why. Firstly, Maud Billy is the Los Angeles-based trio's third album in the last year alone. Yes, this is a band with ambition. Secondly, the Boxmasters' principal songwriter, singer, and drummer is a guy named Billy Bob Thornton, whose day job some of the time is Oscar-winning screenwriter, actor, and director. While Billy Bob Thornton's name is most often linked to his cinematic endeavors, the Boxmasters is anything but a diversion from the silver screen. He's always intended to make music, and he just got sidetracked. These days, music is a major priority in his life, and it's something he's obviously embracing. The Boxmasters are currently on tour with country legend Willie Nelson, and I'm pleased to have all the members of the Boxmasters, Billy Bob Thornton, J.G. Andrew, Mike Butler, and Danny Baker, here in Studio Q. Hello, boys.
Hey, how's it going?
Good to have you here. Three albums in the past year. That seems ambitious.
That's the ones that have been released.
We've recorded about five.
There's more. You guys formed, Billy Bob, you guys formed only in the last couple of years, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
How so?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, when did the band form?
I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, well, when did you guys first start playing together?
We started about 2 years ago, and we haven't stopped since we got the ball rolling.
and you've made three records in that time.
We've actually made about five records, and of course, the first one, the Boxmasters and Maud Billy, and the one that'll be out later in the year called Bellflower are all double CDs, one disc of all originals, one disc of all covers, and so we've got those, and then we've put out a Christmas record, and then we've got two other ones that we've got mostly done as well, so we'll figure out something to do with those as well.
And you're currently on tour with Willie Nelson.
And Ray Price. So it's a fantastic bill.
Have you done shows before this run with Willie Nelson before?
Yeah, we did a run last November and December for a few weeks with Willie in the States. And it was amazing. It was great, you know.
What do you learn from Willie Nelson, Billy Bob?
I've never met him.
Are you being ironic or are you being serious?
I don't really know him.
You've never met Willie Nelson?
Well, I said hello to him once. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. You guys don't really hang out on tour.
I don't know
what I mean.
No.
Why do I get the impression that you're going to answer with you don't know what I mean if I ask you things? So how is it that you guys, did Willie choose you guys to come on tour with him?
Shit, I don't know.
Right. All right. Well, this new record, double record, half original songs, half covers. Tell me about the decision to include an entire record of covers.
Well, early on we decided that, you know, we wanted to pay tribute to the music that's inspired us, you know, growing up and, you know, through our lives. And we we're basically hillbillies that are really influenced by the British invasion, and we just wanted to take all those influences, and there's so many great songs, you know, through the years that we love, that, you know, it's got to pay tribute to them and, you know, help reintroduce, you know, music history to people, so that people, you know, when they hear our version, that maybe they'll go back and listen to, you know, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and Michael Nesmith and Chad and Jeremy and everyone that we loved, you know, over the years.
It seems like an interesting fusion at first, Mike, to have old school sort of British first wave 60s music fused with Southern American twang to a certain extent. Did it always seem natural to you?
Yeah, I mean, those are the things that we're influenced by. So, you know, it wasn't calculated. You know, when we got into the studio, the first time and did the first batch of songs, it's just the way it came out now. It's just the way we sound. And we were all sort of similarly influenced by the same kind of artists and same genres. So it just ended up being that way. We recorded a couple of songs and then we sat back and was like, wow, that kind of sounds like, you know, British Invasion, you know, mixed with the stuff like Buck Owens and Del Reeves and stuff that we listened to. Anyway.
And that was true for you, Billy Bob, growing up? It was a sort of a combo of Stones and Monkees and Buck Owens?
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
And you almost became a professional baseball player, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
But you didn't love music when you were a kid?
I subscribed to a magazine called Famous Monsters of Filmland, which the publisher was a guy named Forrest J. Ackerman, who passed away recently.
Do you remember what you were listening to musically when you were a kid?
They had a contest where you could build your own model, and it could be like a King Kong, or it could be anything from something that you created yourself to like one of the monsters that was actually in the in some of the magazines, like it could be Frankenstein all the way to Phantom of the Opera, and they made these plastic models in those days that you could buy and put together. But this was like a thing you could create your own world of it. You know, build telephone poles, make the railroad tracks, and everything. And I actually did enter it once. I didn't win anything, but I gave it a shot. And but it was pretty. It was a big deal for us kids in those days.
Where's the music fit into that?
Music? No, it was a monster magazine.
Right, right. But given that you seem to be quite passionate about music, I was wondering about your.
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
Would I say that he's passionate about music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Would you explain why it's not a hobby?
Would I explain why it's not a hobby? Are you reacting to the fact that I said?
Yeah, I am. I am. Since you're instructed not to talk about shit like that, yeah, I am reacting to that. Yeah.
I wasn't instructed to. I'm not really instructed. You guys are here as a band. You're performing,
The producer is instructed.
Right.
So.
But
somewhere along the way.
Because I mentioned that you were an actor and a screenwriter?
First of all, that wasn't supposed to be mentioned either, you know, but...
But that's just giving context, right? I mean, I'm happy to interview you guys as a band, but you know, for the listeners, we're giving context for who you are. That's part of your trajectory, isn't it?
Not really.
It's not?
No.
You would prefer me to only do this interview not mentioning at all, just to clarify,
that's correct,
yes. At all that you've that's ever correct. Done anything in terms of acting, screenwriting?
That's correct.
Okay, but do you know that people are listening across the country and across North America, and they might think that's odd that I would not mention anything to do with your past?
Well, I think it's odd that you have to smoke inside a white stripe outside.
That's also odd. But that, you know, but that's a little different. That's a rule and regulation. I'm just trying to do a show and give people context for who you guys are.
Well, there's plenty of context without all that.
Right.
Yeah. So...
Okay, well, I mean, it does occur to me that, you know, the producers told me that you didn't want to, that they didn't want to focus on questions around your acting career, et cetera. Right. And I'm cool with that because I'm happy to talk to you as musicians. It does also occur to me, though, that you're a pretty new band, and part one of the reasons why you get attention is because of the career you have.
We're not really new.
You're not?
Well, I've made 8 albums.
I know you've made a lot of them, but how long have the Boxmasters been together for?
I don't know.
A couple of years, maybe? So even the greatest bands in the world don't... I mean, part of the attention that you're getting is because of the great career you've had in other ways. What I'm explaining is I'm not trying to be insulting to your musical...
Well, what I'm explaining is we said to not talk about shit like that, and we also said... that we didn't want to hear anything about how this is my first love. You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you? I understand music is your first love, Well, my first love was a chick named Lisa Cohen. You know what I mean?
All right. So I think the only reason we would do that is as a point of entry. So for people to... So if do you want to continue this if we talk about music?
That'd be great.
Okay. Well, if we can call a truce, then I can ask you questions about music because I was asking you and you didn't seem to want to answer, but I'm cool to talk about that. So can you talk about your musical influences? Because there is an interesting fusion in this on this record.
Yeah, it's a mixture of the British Invasion with hillbilly music, something that I know more about than, say, a band who's 20 years old that you wouldn't say that to. Yeah, I grew up as pretty much a music historian, so, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, cosmic cowboy music.
Can you think of other bands who've been doing what you guys are doing here or aspiring?
Not lately.
To? Yeah.
Not in the last 30 years, no.
And how do you find, is it difficult? Like, it's interesting, you're opening for Willie Nelson. I'm assuming it's an old, somewhat older country audience. Do different audiences react to you different ways? I mean, there's it's quite an eclectic double record. You know, you run the gamut from songs that sound sort of country to songs that sound rock and roll.
Well, the good news is that Willie's audience is pretty eclectic. He has everything from bikers to, you know, old people to young people, and so somewhere in there you find. You know, an audience, or at least we do in Europe and the United States. Canadian audiences seem to be very reserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've heard that before.
You know, we tend to play places where people throw things at each other, and here they just sort of sit there. You know, and it doesn't matter what you say to them.
Even when you're playing, but you're playing theaters as well, right? Is that part of it?
Some are theaters, some are like stadiums and or whatever they you want to call it. But it's very, it's mashed potatoes with no gravy, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, we got some gravy up here as well.
Yeah you do, actually, on a lot of things.
it might be considered one of our national dishes, actually.
Absolutely, I've seen that in several shops.
Okay, well, listen, you guys are going to play a song for us. What were you planning on playing?
The guys are going to do an instrumental version of a song called Turn It Over, which is on this record that we have now.
Okay, you're not going to play?
Well, I'm a drummer.
And you don't have your drums here?
No, we don't cart those around at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. All right, well, how about we... let's hear the instrumental version from the Boxmasters. You guys up for it?
Sure. Absolutely.
This is the Boxmasters. This is J.D. Andrew, Mike Butler, and Danny Baker. And Billy Bob doesn't have his drums, so he's not going to be performing on this version of the Boxmasters. Thank you. nicely done. That's the Boxmasters live in studio. QJD, Andrew, Mike Butler, and that's Danny Baker on the leads there playing a song called Turn It Over. Thanks for coming in, guys. Appreciate it. Billy Bob, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Have a good rest of your tour.
We'll give it a shot.
All right, man. The Boxmasters currently on tour with Willie Nelson, playing tonight and tomorrow night at Toronto's Massey Hall, Montreal this Friday, London on Saturday. When Q continues, Albert Schultz is here. He's just opened in the Soul Pepper Theater production of Glengarry Glen Ross last night in Toronto. We'll get his thoughts on opening night and why the David Mamet classic is particularly appropriate for these economic times. Plus, Mio Edelman will be here about 20 minutes from now with the Down Low, Down Low. And 30 minutes from now, Pascal Blanchet, the Quebec graphic artist, has a new tale on the stands called Baloney, another beautiful graphic novel from this guy. Inspired this time by the music of Dmitri Shostakovich, Pascal Blanchet joins me. All right. Q@cbc.ca is where to reach us if you have anything to say. I'm Gian Gameschi. Back in a moment.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.